Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. My name is Susan Rocco, and we are here in the studio today with two lovely ladies who happen to be good friends of mine. We're here every week at Women to Watch on 1180 WFYL. If you're listening and you would like to get in touch to come in and tell us what your business is doing, I would love to hear from you. So please feel free to give me a call at 215-313-5561 or shoot me an email to srocco233@gmail.com. Today we're going to have a really good show. I have two wonderful women in the studio with me today who are a very good team and work very hard in the world of social media and public relations and marketing. So please welcome Dawn Warden-Reeder and Kimberly Ettinger, who are executive partners with the Warden-Ettinger Group. Welcome to the studio, ladies.
Thanks Hello. For having us.
You're welcome. I'd like to talk a little bit about your backgrounds, each one of you. And Dawn, I'll start with you. I understand that you grew up in Westchester, New York, and I wonder if you can talk a little bit about your younger years and what it was like growing up there.
Well, that's an interesting question, because actually I moved about 9 times when I was a kid and lived partially in California and also lived in Pennsylvania and lived in Westchester. And I ended up in Westchester during high school and stayed there. I had about 4 consecutive years of school in one place, which was pretty cool. And life there was very normal. I was very interested in writing. I was not your Supergirl athlete. And part of that was because I had an older brother who my dad was very bonded with over sports. And I was in the poetry club and the journalism club and really very interested in writing, and worked for a small local newspaper during my senior year, and kind of just, I basically was very curious about the world. And I think that that's something that I have always brought with me, which related to where I ended up, although I did not go to an official communications college, despite having been accepted to one. But I actually went to school later on in a very small town in Columbus, well, outside of Columbus, Denison University, which was completely not communications oriented, but I liked being there and being in the same place for another 4 years. So I moved a lot. I had divorced parents. I had extended family. But otherwise, I was just your average teenager checking things out.
Yeah. So you really, that the love of language and writing and words you had as a young girl, you always had that then?
I did. I was, if you can picture me, about to be 50 years old. And back then, I was in my room listening to James Taylor and Neil Young and Nicolette Larson and pretty much everybody else, and writing poetry and, you know, remember the day John Lennon was murdered and writing in my journal. And yeah, I was just very, I wasn't introverted by any means. I had lots of friends and really enjoyed being out with people, but I was always writing something.
Yeah, that's interesting, because often we talk about the paths that women take and whether their interests and the things that they're doing today is something that they've always had, you know, integrated in them. Did your mom work outside of the house?
Yes, my parents were divorced very young, so my mom basically did what she needed to do to get by, and she actually waitressed a lot, worked in catering, and of course she'll strangle me for telling this story, but I know it has been in one of the movies, one of the movies with Brad Pitt and George Clooney, about the casino heist, and you have the girls, the women in there wearing the Caesar's Palace uniforms with the head in the cone. And my right. mom did that, but she did that because she was trying to have money for us and herself. And so she definitely had a very interesting path. She did not do a high-end career, although she's now working in that type of business, which is amazing that she's still doing that. But yeah, I didn't, my dad always wanted me to be a lawyer. My sister ended up doing that and making him happy just
he
recently.
He got one lawyer.
He got one
yeah.
lawyer.
Good.
She graduated top of her class. And, like I said, I actually chose not to go to Emerson College, and I don't really know why, other than, I actually really wanted to be rooted in a place where I was going to be with the same people for a while. And I wanted a small community, not transient. And I find it interesting that despite having made that choice, I actually still ended up on the same career path, and perhaps opportunities would have opened up to me on a far different level had I gone to Emerson, but somehow I managed to continue on the path of communications despite making a choice that didn't really lead me there at the moment.
Right. Excuse me. You know, when I was reading your bio and your profile, there's so many things that you've done. I love that on your profile you list literally all the different jobs that you've had, because that kind of tells the story of you and your background and how it's led you to owning this business today. I'm wondering a couple of things. What was your very first job right out of Denison?
Well, right out of Denison, I came to Philadelphia, actually. I had spent my junior year in Philadelphia. My dad nixed my plans to go to the Sorbonne for the year in Paris, though my younger siblings got to go and do that.
These darn dads.
I know. He wanted me to be something, so he found this great internship program through my college programs office and basically set me up for an internship in Philadelphia, which is how I ended up here, because I fell in love with the city immediately. I lived by the art museum, and for that semester I actually worked for a really good crew at KYW, and I graduated college thinking, I'm gonna come back, I've got this awesome resume reel, I am rocking it, and I'm gonna get a job at KYW or another local station. Well, that was probably the peak of when everybody was applying for those jobs, so that didn't happen. However, I ended up with a very crazy and just awful. The job was fine, but we wrote the worst cable commercials you can imagine for one of but it was for one of Jerry Lenfest's first ventures, Cable AdNet, and I met really wonderful people who are still in my life right now.
I bet. Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you're married and you have 5 children. That's a big deal, I think, in light of all of the different things that you're responsible for on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, it wouldn't be right of me not to ask how you manage that, 5 children, owning a business in public relations, which just takes you all over and constantly being in touch with clients. So what is your, do you have, or maybe you don't, maybe you're just handling things as they come to you every day, but if not, do you have something that helps you manage it and keep you kind of balanced?
Well, I think the fact that I didn't take this on until my kids were older, I am very fortunate that I was able to stay at home with my kids for a very long time. And that was really what I wanted. I was not somebody, despite having the ability, who came out of college and said, you know, I want to have this awesome career. I, for whatever reasons that I am sure are grounded in my childhood and what happened to me as a kid, really wanted my own family. That was something that was probably the highest of priorities for me, knowing that later I would have the opportunity to go back to work. So I just decided one day that I wanted to start writing, and I pitched a few magazines, and that got me on the track for Mainline Today magazine. And then through that, I actually met Kim, and she was pitching me stories. And then I got to another period of time where I was in transition, and here I had these kids, and they were kind of getting a little bit older, and it was just time for me to think about, like, what's going to happen next. And since I have a terrible, terrible fear of being an empty nester, I wanted to make sure that I had a safety net for myself and create an environment that I could be excited and happy and not missing my kids too much, which is what I did with the business. And it isn't easy. And there's definitely times where I've said, I can't believe, as the mother of 5, I took on a job where I am dealing with like 9 other people's issues.
Stop. Right. Right.
Every day. Like, what kind of plan was that? But I'm lucky that I have a lot of energy and I am pretty good at multitasking. I would be fooling everybody if I even tried to say that I do it all really well and really gracefully and don't miss a beat, and that's just simply not true. And I think you just have to be forgiving of yourself and just try to keep doing things better the next time. But I love people. I love talking about cool things, and basically PR was just a natural fit for somebody who really likes to share and turn people on to things that I think are pretty neat. So it was more of a natural fit than not.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to take a break in a few minutes, but real quickly, you mentioned Kim Ettinger, who's sitting to your left, and she is your partner. And I wonder if you could just tell briefly how you two did meet.
Well, actually, we have a great story. It's probably even more exciting than my husband's and my story. I say that kiddingly because he always says we have a boring story, which I disagree with.
or that she's your other partner in
exactly.
life, right?
But so Kim and I met at an event that she invited me to. And the tie in there was that it was for a place that's not there anymore. But is it Dulce?
Dolce.
See, I always say Dolce, and I was changing it up today. Anyway, the person that she was ultimately representing, the business owner, happens to be somebody that my dad grew up with and was best friends with. So that right there was the tie-in. And then as we got to talking, turned out she had been to Barcelona the same year as my sister, because she's exactly my sister's years same age. And we just kind of got to know each other, and she was in, I guess another year later, maybe it was, that she was in transition and I was in transition, and we were both on Facebook. And ultimately, she approached me one day and said, "Hey, I got an idea. What do you want to do?" And she was really good about, like, "Let's meet. Let's do this. I got a name." She really was quite good at steering me onto this path. And it was just the right time, you know, right place at the right time, and just the right person, because we really did have these just natural common threads that we didn't have to try for.
Yeah. You know what? So often that's how things happen. They were literally fate meant to be. And, you know, the fact that who she was working for was a friend of your father's, I think is probably the reason you two, you know, ever met at all. Kim, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to find out all about Kim Ettinger and her growing up years in the Philadelphia area. We'll be right back.
From Willow Grove to Westchester, Pottstown to Philadelphia, it's News Talk 1180 WFYL.
Is your online store cluttering your house and garage with your product? Does it require you to spend all your free time shipping packages, leaving you no time to work with new customers or develop new marketing initiatives? Now is the time to free up your space and time and let ABC Fulfillment provide you with cost-effective warehousing, order processing, and shipping for your products. Our 20,000 square foot warehouse is conveniently located in Ambler, PA. ABC Fulfillment is a 100% woman-owned and operated business and has helped many small and mid-sized businesses solve their warehousing and order processing problems. We pride ourselves on our attention to detail as well as our excellent customer service. When you call us, you will always speak with someone who can help you solve your problem and not be asked to leave a message. Our personal touch and expertise separates us from the rest. Last year, we shipped over 150,000 packages for our customers, including order processing and shipping for the Jill Steals and Deals segment of the Today Show, saving our customers both time and money. If you would like to spend more time finding new products to sell, reaching new customers, and marketing your products, now is the time to call ABC Fulfillment. Please call 215-628-3154 and ask for Eileen or Lisa to help you get started.
At Blue Bell Physical Therapy, our goal is to get you back in the game, back to work, and back to your normal way of life. Our highly respected team provides preventative and rehabilitation services, from everyday physical and occupational therapy to post-operative rehab of your knees, shoulders, or spine. Blue Bell Physical Therapy focuses on achieving each patient's maximum level of recovery. Blue Bell Physical Therapy, the treatment you need from the therapist you trust.
Want your home to look great for company from out of town? Moving to a new place? Or just want the satisfaction of a clean, healthy home? Whatever your reason, everybody needs to clean. So why not choose the line of cleaning tools that makes your task easier? Quickie is your one-stop cleaning solution with everything you need to get the job done right. Whether you're cleaning one room or the whole house, Quickie has the right tool for you. It doesn't matter if you prefer a more traditional mop and bucket, or if you'd like to save time with a new Quickie spray mop. Quickie has everything you need to get the job done. Founded in Philadelphia 60 years ago, Quickie's commitment to quality and value have helped it grow into the number one cleaning tool company in America. It's Quickie and it's clean. Look for Quickie products at Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, ShopRite, and other fine retailers near you.
News Talk 1180 WFYL, streaming live at 1180WFYL.com. I'm just beginning,
the pen's in my hand, ending on... Hey everybody, we're back in the studio today with the Warden Ettinger Group, and I have the executive partners, Dawn Warden Reeder and Kimberly Ettinger. And the first part of the program, we got to learn a little bit about Dawn and her background, and now we're going to take a little bit of time and hear from Kimberly. Kimberly grew up in Marion Park. I'm not exactly sure where that is, but she'll let us know. And she's the youngin' in the studio, so we're going to hear from her and what her growing up years were like, and tell us about that.
Yes, Lower Marion is where I grew up. I grew up beginning in Bala Cynwyd, and that's where I went to elementary school and middle school, just a short walk away with the kids in the neighborhood. And then my parents moved to Marion, and I went to Lower Marion High School. Growing up was pretty normal. I did play a lot of sports, unlike my partner here, and my brother did not. So my dad was always very happy when I was focusing on, you know, the Penn State football games with him, or going to the park and getting cheesesteaks and having a little catch before dinner. I definitely played a lot of sports in high school, lacrosse and soccer mainly. Did some travel soccer in there. I would think that I would say growing up, the main thing that kind of I did that was not what everyone else of my peers was doing at the time was definitely traveling a lot with my family, to places near, to places far. And even though my mom liked to tell me every day how unworldly I was, I think that in the end, things worked out okay. I definitely have seen a lot of different things, and I started seeing different cultures and was exposed to a lot of very interesting things throughout my younger life. So that was definitely, when I look back, something that I really remember as being a special part of growing up.
And what took you to all of these places? Was it a work-related trips, or just something that your family liked to do?
No, my parents have always liked to travel a lot. So, you know, we would go to places like Mexico, but we would also go to Europe as a family on tours. We weren't just going to beaches and kind of camping out. We were actually definitely taking in society and going on different side trips and learning a lot about, you know, what was going on in different places. And I think a lot of my friends growing up would always, you know, get a puppy, or they would get like really cool those cars that you could drive around, I forget what they're called, but they would get really cool toys and things like that. And my brother and I were kind of like, yeah, we don't really have good stuff to play with at our house, but we go on a lot of great vacations. So that's kind of...
You always have to have something to one-up your friends, right?
Well, yeah, I just really had nothing too great around the house laying around, so...
okay, so tell me what made you decide to go to the University of Wisconsin.
I went to the University of Wisconsin. Actually, funny story, I had a hand-me-down pair of Sophie shorts in my drawer growing up, and they were bedazzled with rhinestones, and they had a really cool W on them. So that was always something in the back of my mind that I thought was funny. But I never really even thought about going to Wisconsin until it was time to look at colleges, and I knew, you know, with my sports background, I wanted to go to a school that had, you know, not only stellar academics, but a cool vibe going with Big Ten sports. And my dad was very affiliated with Penn State at the time. He still is. My parents both went there. But, you know, wanting to kind of branch out and do my own thing, I said, Dad, you know, as much as you want me to, I'm not going to Penn State. But I still secretly liked the whole idea of Penn State. So I looked for a school like Penn State that was somewhere different.
And were you playing sports while you were there?
I did a little bit of, you know, stuff with clubs, but I never was on, you know, the Wisconsin lacrosse women's team or anything like
right.
that.
And you did major in communications?
Yes,
right?
I did.
Is that a field that you always felt you wanted to be in, or is it something that, you know, something you decided upon when you got there?
Well, if you say always, there was the time when I wanted to be the pediatrician like everyone else. There was the time that I wanted to be a vet, which is really odd because I've never owned a pet in my life.
so where did, except where for did my that hermit come crab. From?
I really actually don't know. I think it was, you know, the jealousy of all my other friends that had pets. So I was like, if my parents are never going to buy me a pet, I'll just work with them. But I think at the end of the day, I always... I didn't know it would be PR. I just always really like communicating with people. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely always a skill. My dad, too, wanted me to be a lawyer. And like Don, my brother became the lawyer. So that got settled there. But, you know, definitely being able to have a way with words to express what I'm thinking. That's why he thought I would be, you know, I was always very good at arguing. I usually won. So that's why he thought I would be a good lawyer. But I think definitely I spent a lot of time writing. I did a lot of creative writing. And just, you know, being able to talk to people is something that is, has always felt like a natural skill for me.
Right. So you spent a couple years with the NEF group?
Okay. NEF Associates, yes.
Okay. Tell me what that was like. That was your, was that your first job out of college?
I had an internship at a law firm where I worked in the marketing department that was pretty short-lived because, again, law is not really my thing. It doesn't get me ticking. And then I started with an internship at NEF Associates. I was originally doing a lot of stuff with ad work, creating copy for ads and radio spots. And then once people started to see I could write, I became the person who, you know, I turned into a PR intern, and then I got a job, and then I was kind of doing all different things between doing the ads and the PR stuff too. And also helping out with the new business. And basically, you know, when you're in an agency type situation like that, you're putting on a lot of hats every day.
Right.
So I also started being the person who was interviewing interns and just a lot of things all at once. But the main focus for most of my time there was PR. And I somehow became known as, well, not somehow, because my interests lie in food. I love all things food. So we had a bunch of restaurant clients at the firm, and you know, those clients typically ended up being my clients because I could really connect with them because of my background in food from waitressing and just the general interest. And then the relationships that I developed with the culinary media.
Now, you know, you and Dawn have a lot of similarities as you're speaking. And I know that food, an interest in the culinary, you know, arts and everything is something that you both have a strong interest in. The enchilada, tell me the name of the subdivision of your company.
So the subdivision, our culinary division, is called the Whole Enchilada PR.
Right.
And interesting factoid, the TWE, the Whole Enchilada, is when Dawn mentioned earlier that I contacted her and I said that we already had our business name. We were both not married at the time, so TWE, my last name used to be Jenkin, but I knew it would be changing to Ettinger. So we knew somewhere down the line there was the potential that the Whole Enchilada could be the Warden Ettinger, because I knew I was engaged.
Okay. And you were certain that it was going to
well,
take place.
We were just
continue.
That's kind of dangerous move there, but.
So you are married, and
yes.
Unlike Dawn, you don't have any children yet. And
not yet.
I think you married 2 years ago?
About 2 years ago.
Yeah. And living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different world down there. It's kind of exciting. And I know that you live on the river. What's some of the things you enjoy about living in Philadelphia?
I definitely like that I'm able to walk around everywhere. While I grew up in the suburbs and we drove everywhere, I did have a stint of time where I lived in Barcelona, like Dawn also mentioned before. So I got very used to the lifestyle of being able to walk everywhere or take public transportation. A lot of the places that I went there are still the same places I go now, focused on food. So my husband and I love to go to the Reading Terminal almost weekly. Walk around the Italian market, sit on the river. The other night we cooked dinner and just sat on the river and ate our food, and it was just a couple of steps away. So I like the freedom of being able to have everything so close and all different things, from the museums and the different paths that you can take a run, and, you know, the different places that you can shop. So,
you know, I love our city, and it's so manageable. You know, it really is. It has so many diverse neighborhoods and areas, and it's just so easily accessible, I think.
Yeah.
Whether you live in the city or outside of the city.
Definitely.
Do you do any fishing in the city? I read a little tidbit about
that you liked fishing.
I do like fishing. I have gone fishing on the grass right by my building. I do not advise eating anything. I never
anything
ate
that comes out of that river.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people that set up shop and fish for the day. I think it's more of an entertainment thing because the things coming out of there are very questionable.
Sometimes not fish at all.
Sometimes not fish.
Okay, you know what? I thought we'd take another few minutes before one more break and talk about how you two came together and formed the business. A lot about this show is really kind of giving some advice and inspiration to women that are listening that perhaps some have an idea of their own to start a business. Mm-hmm. And it takes courage, I think, to do that, to have the belief in yourself that you can start a business and gather clients and actually start making some income.
Yeah.
What were some of the very first steps that the two of you took together? And you, Dawn, feel free to jump in. When you decided to form the Warden Ettinger Group, what are the very first things you do? Are you contacting somebody, accountants or attorneys, or did you literally just kind of jump in on your own and start to create the brand?
I think definitely the first thing is drumming up that confidence to know that it's okay to take a chance. And I think it's definitely pretty situational if you're in a situation where you don't necessarily think that you have so much to lose, but you have a lot to gain by taking a chance. I think that's definitely an opportunity that's always worth seizing. And as for us together, I think that, you know, the nature of PR is all about communication. I think that basically we just jumped in not even thinking too much about what would happen, just knowing that we were both pretty good at what we were doing and just starting to talk to people and getting the name out there into the public and networking and, you know, speaking with the various people that we've naturally formed relationships over the years. That could even be old clients that said, hey, where are you going? You know, what's happening now? So I think that we kind of didn't necessarily think too much about the logistics and the, you know, the startup costs, because we didn't have very much startup. I know that's a hindrance for a lot of people who want to start a new business, but we kind of were just so excited that we felt that we had the tools within ourselves to take that chance.
Did you want to add something, Dawn?
I do. I just, I think that I have seen this over the years in different experiences where people are waiting for the right time for something to happen, and whether it's deciding to be a mother or starting to start your own business. And I think, as much as I would love to say that Kim and I had all these strategic sessions and really thought things through, we did get all the legalities in place. And conveniently, Kim's dad is a lawyer, so we were able to set up our business the way that it should be and have an understanding between us. And we kind of just had that there. But other than jumping in, we didn't agonize too much about it. And I think that that is something that there's a happy medium between planning things out and waiting for the right time and then letting something pass you by. And I think what we decided to do was, let's see where it goes. Let's see what happens with it. And like she mentioned, you know, we really didn't have anything to lose. And I think you have to have that sense in you that you're willing to try. And it's funny because one of my girlfriends said to me, I don't know if it was a year or two ago, but it was an interesting thing for a girlfriend to say to you, who also just turned 50. So we're sort of that had the same experiences. And she actually did get accepted to Emerson and did go. but she said about me personally that I was the type of person that was not afraid to get up and swing at the bat and miss and get up and do it again and do it in front of a lot of people. And I never really looked at myself that way. But when you step back and you think, you know what, I am that person. And not to put the focus on me and take it off of both Kim and I, because this is something we've done together. But I think just that mindset to just not be afraid to try something is a message that I would love to send out to anybody of any age. Because really, you can scare yourself out of opportunities very easily, because you're always looking for the perfect scenario. And I think in my aging time span here on Earth, I have definitely learned that perfect is a word that keeps changing its meaning. And I think that that would be a good thing for everyone else to keep in mind.
Yeah, I really agree with that wholeheartedly. I wish the word perfect didn't exist, frankly, because I think it puts pressure on people. And, you know, when we hear that word, we're constantly striving for something that really doesn't exist. And I think you're so right about the fact that sometimes people spend a lot of time analyzing and researching and seeing what everyone else is doing when they should be just kind of jumping in and making a go of it. Because what's the worst that can happen? You know, if it doesn't work out, you can do something else. I think a lot of that confidence comes in time. And I would imagine the two of you, what a great partnership you have, with Kim being in her 20s and, you know, contributing things that maybe are new and modern, and you in your 40s, if I can say that, 20s and 40s, you know, just really having more of that, been there, done that, and let's try something and not be afraid. I would imagine that makes the two of you be a very good team.
That's why we were the whole enchilada.
That's right. Okay, we're going to take one more quick break. And when we come back, I want to hear all about the Warden-Ettinger Group and the different services that you provide and what sets you apart from the other firms that are out there. We'll be right back.
From Willow Grove to Westchester, Pottstown to Philadelphia, it's News Talk 1180 WFYL.
If you have separation or divorce in your current situation or future plans, you will not be alone in this journey when you hire divorce coach Sheila Brennan. She will guide you and provide important information about the process as well as personal support. With Sheila's help, you learn the skills and strategies to effectively manage your divorce. As your divorce coach, Sheila answers your questions, provides priceless advice, and offers the assistance you'll need in this uncertain and emotional time in your life. For a complimentary discovery session with Sheila, call 610-687-1414. That's 610-687-1414. Or find Sheila at BrennanDivorceCoach.com. What woman out there is not tired of the department store shopping experience? Unkept dressing rooms, no customer service, and never being able to find the right size. This is your answer. Come shop with us. We are Best Dressed, and we are the most exciting new way to shop the beautiful private label of W by Worth. If you're tired of wearing only 20% of your clothing 80% of the time, wardrobe building is a must, and we can show you how to do that and save money. Best Dressed is a business that offers a luxury brand of clothing that will forever be in your closet and always your favorite thing to wear. For the absolute best customer service, easy purchasing and returns, personal custom fitting, and shopping when it's most convenient for you, please contact Best Dressed at 215-266-5680, and be sure to view the spring collection at wbyworth.com.
News Talk 1180 WFYL, streaming live at 1180wfyl.com.
Hey everybody, we're back in the studio with Dawn Warden Reeder and Kimberly Ettinger from the Warden Ettinger Group. And I just thought we'd take a little time with the end of the program and hear about the exact services and things that Dawn and Kim offer and what makes them different from the other firms that are out there. There's a lot of marketing and PR firms, especially, you know, within the city of Philadelphia. So I want to give you an opportunity to talk about how you are different. Kim, maybe you can start with, let's talk a little bit about social media, which is huge right now with any business. You really have to have a presence on the web, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. We talk a lot about that. So what are your thoughts as far as use of social media and maybe just some tips for people that are starting out, what they should focus on and how they should focus their time?
Social media is definitely very important, and it's a component of marketing that we often help our clients out with. A lot of times, we suggest that, you know, while we can take the whole mother load sort of social media on for our clients and, you know, write messaging on their behalf, we definitely suggest sort of a partnership on social media related things because of the transparent nature of social media. Sometimes it's better to have someone, you know, that's there every day at the business that's able to contribute to the messaging that's being put out there. A lot of it is very timely information, so it helps to have someone on the ground at the business contributing to the messaging that we're putting out there. There are definitely a lot of different social media platforms, hundreds, ones that we know about, ones that were just created yesterday. And I think one of the most important things is definitely delving into what your business is, who your target audience is, and then analyzing that to know which platforms are going to be the most beneficial for your specific company. While there's a lot of different ones out there, you know, it's better to pick the three that are going to be the most beneficial for your business specifically and really, you know, zero in and handle those platforms the correct way. And that means putting out the right kind of messaging, definitely knowing when to use pictures versus text, knowing how much text to put out there, and really just create content that, you know, is going to be appealing to your audience that you're trying to reach.
I really like that. I think it's important because it can be extremely overwhelming, even for large corporations, I think, when they sit down and they have to be focused on how they're going to get the brand out and the word out. And if you say that take three areas and do it well, I think that's really key. I know that writing is a big part of what you guys do. And Dawn, maybe you can speak to that, how you help your clients, small to mid-sized businesses, with their writing.
Well, the writing really starts with the social media messaging because that's where most people are right now, and not everyone is at the level where they're putting out collateral consistently, meaning white papers or, you know, Q&As, other types of branded content, if you will. And so I think it's really being able to help each brand and client that we work with hone in on the types of messages that they want to convey to their audiences. So, of course, as Kim mentioned, that means knowing who your audiences are and then knowing where they are. But then you also need to know who you are. So that would be one of the first things that I try to develop is a voice. And you know, in traditional writing, you don't always get away with kind of having a personality on paper. And that is one of the nice things about social media and about the different social media platforms is that you can have a different voice for each. And then you also can have your brand's voice, which is best reflected right on your website. So I would say the most consistent work that we do in terms of writing is work that has to do with your website. And that's actually an area of our business that we are trying to grow. We launched, it's sort of a underlying division that we have, sort of our unofficial copywriting division, which we had fun naming the Word Exchange. And the idea behind that was to take the words that you have been using that might be ineffective or not accurate in reflecting who your brand is and what you're trying to put out there into the world and swap them out for new ones that will do the job better. So we've done some web copywriting for people. We do Q&As. I love Q&As for businesses because you can pop them up on SlideShare, which is a content sharing site that allows you to take the content and put it into a small link, and then you can use that anywhere on social media. And it's very easy to just give people an insight into who you are, who your company is, what your nonprofit cause is, whatever it is that you're trying to. It works for events, it works for everything. But mostly it's just also just writing well. And I think that is a hot topic right now, is how this social media writing and texting and all these sort of short form writing moments are taking away from actual skill. And so the other message that I would have for people, and one of the things I try to work on them with, is to not just put out content, because obviously this is the age of content and everyone's trying to just pump things out relentlessly, but it's really putting out good content. You still need to have well-written sentences. You need to watch your spelling. You need to have your punctuation, and you need to have a consistent thought from your first sentence down to the last sentence, and you need to know where to put the right messages so that they have the most impact. So that's kind of the boring technical stuff of what we do with writing, but it really is ultimately about helping those who are putting out content put out the best possible content out there. And I am notorious in my own writing for obsessing over tweets and edits and, you know, misspellings and everything. And of course, you can never not make a mistake. That's just not going to happen. But everybody should, even in their smallest tweet that they're putting out there, you need to check your spelling and really try to put out the best image of your skill set that you can and your writing skills.
Right. Just to add to that, Dawn, talking about the writing, I want to give a nice plug for the two of you, because we've done some work together, the three of us, and you both have been extremely generous in helping me with my show. And very often I was struggling with, you know, just a sentence or two here and there when I was designing my website. And I find just changing a sentence or a couple of words can be extremely effective. And you do that very, very well. I would put some copy and shoot it over to you in an email. And just by tweaking it ever so slightly, it became perfect. I think that's a really important skill. And I think a lot of people can use that service.
That's very nice of you to say. Thank you, because we definitely try to be detailed oriented. Sometimes we drive people, particularly me, drives people a little bit crazy with it. But there is a difference between the words that people use, and I am very addicted to all of the online resources and, of course, the iPhone resources for finding better words, making sure the spelling's correct. A lot of people use words that are jargon, which I am not a fan of, and a lot of people also don't always truly know the difference in meaning between words, so they'll use them, but it's not really accurately fitting what it is that they would like to say. So I encourage everyone to really read what they're writing over and over again, and do exactly what you did, which is to just pass it along to somebody else to give it a read. Because if anyone on the receiving end has a question about what you have written, then that means that there is a question and you need to answer it. So
right.
Hopefully people will learn from that. And also, it's just nice that you saw the benefit of that.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm the queen of thesaurus. I just love it. You know, I love to find a different word, you know, for a word that's used regularly. Something else that you do that we haven't talked about yet is, and Kimberly worked on this for me, is you have a very creative aspect of your business. And I had an idea for a logo and I just couldn't quite get it together. And I gave my ideas to Kim, and she was able to really come up with something that was exactly perfect in representing my show. So Kim, talk to me a little bit about that creative aspect that you have. Is that something that you literally, were you artistic as a child, or is it just something that more creatively you have ideas?
It's a complicated question. I think that I enjoyed doing art as a child, but I don't think I was necessarily so great at it, but I was pretty good. I never went through life thinking I was an artist. My husband, of course, now is one, and he thinks that, you know, he can draw a better picture of a face than I can, but we'll have to let you be the judge of that. Yeah, so I don't think I'm the most artistic person. I think that, again, it boils down to being able to connect with someone and speak to them about what they're trying to achieve, whether that's through words or through images, and really just be able to listen and, you know, kind of take every project, whether it's a written project or a graphics project, and, you know, think about how someone who's never met this person before looking at an image or text is going to react when they see either something in front of them or they read something. So what I try to do is just, you know, talk to the person who I'm creating something for, whether it's a logo or even an advertisement, and, you know, find the subtle things that they want to relay through the image. And I think that that's what we did together, playing around with colors and, you know, how the size of a font or the shape of a font can have a completely different meaning than if you use a skinny font. And it's really just getting to the bottom of what you want an image to mean and, you know, getting those creative juices flowing and even doing research online and, you know, seeing what people think about when they see certain things. And I think it's just really delving into that we're not just creating an image to create an image. There's a story behind that image. And that's really just a natural skill that I've been developing over time. There are actually a lot of great programs that are available online today. So if you're not an avid graphic designer, you can kind of go online, Google a few things, and find some great programs. One of those programs that I stumbled upon that's actually free is called GIMP, and that's been a very helpful tool for me.
That's great. I think it's true. There's a lot of things, you know, people need to collaborate, and that's really what makes for some wonderful, you know, projects coming together. But there certainly are a lot of tools out there that are helpful for people who perhaps don't have the means to hire someone like the two of you. Let's take a few minutes to talk about storytelling and how that is a big part of what you do, helping to tell the story of whether it's a person or a business or a product. What kinds of things do you do to help to tell someone's story?
Well, I can speak to that to start us off just from the writer's perspective. And obviously, the whole storytelling angle is something that's being talked about a lot and has been for the past couple of years in relationship to brands and how they're connecting with their audiences and earning trust and loyalty and building relationships. And that's pretty much the core of what social media is and what should be. Social media should not always be a sales tool at the end of the day. It should be about the relationship building, which PR is such a natural fit because when you think about it, public relations and media relations is all about building relationships. And how do you really build relationships? Well, you get to know each other. And the best way to get to know each other, whether you're a client or a PR person, is, you know, to tell stories. And the PR person's job always, first and foremost, is to know the story that they're telling and to find the right people to tell it to. So that is really where the magic happens for people. And I know everyone thinks that getting a great press hit is kind of the end all to the be all with public relations. And while getting a great press hit definitely is really important and valuable for businesses, it's really getting their story out there. And that starts with, you know, the PR person actually functioning like a reporter and asking the right questions and looking for the different angles. And I guess a piece of advice that I have always carried with me, and Mark Nardone, this is a shout out to you, who used to be my editor at Mainline Today, and he drove me to tears over an article one time that I was having trouble with. And the takeaway was, he said, there are no bad stories out there, just bad storytellers. And I think in my personal experience, if I've had a failure in pitching a story to somebody that I thought, you know, would be just a great match for this story, I feel like it's myself that has failed in terms of being able to really come up with the right angle. Because a lot of times clients don't know the angle. I have been in many situations where I've said, hey, you know, you tell me something interesting. You know, what's the story? What's it like? Let's get to the meat of this. Give me something to work with. And people don't know how to even talk about themselves. I mean, yes, we've all encountered people who never shut up talking about themselves and love to be the center of attention. But I would say that most people are not that way. And as much as they want the attention on their business, they don't really know how to parlay their inner personality and sort of their own struggles into how the business came about. And for people who are representing companies and they don't maybe have the blood and sweat sort of genetic tie to the business the way that entrepreneurs who have started their own businesses do, it becomes even harder for them. So I think asking the right questions is the number one way, and businesses have to do that for themselves. And then the people that work with them, whether, you know, it's as Kim was talking about, whether it's your graphics person, whether it's your web designer, whether it's your copywriter, and again, your media relations team, everybody really needs to know the story. And that's something, as I said, that, you know, we can help people do. And there's even, you just write down a list of your questions. I mean, it's such a simple step to just, you know, who am I? What is my business? What do I want people to know? And these are things you can do over a cup of coffee or, you know, while you're sitting down watching a slow baseball game.
And that's so very true. And I would say that the whole purpose of that, getting the story told, is to connect then with your audience or your customers or your clients, whatever they might be. That's what connects people and allows business to kind of unfold is those relationships. I think that's so true. We're almost to the end of the show, and I just wanted to say, you know, the world of PR is such a wonderful field because I think it's different every day. You guys are not doing the same task day after day. And if I'd love to ask each of you real quickly to tell me your most favorite part of what you do. You know, we talked about a lot of different aspects, writing, social media, you know, PR, you know, the internet and all that good stuff. What do you like to do? What do you enjoy the most about your job? Kim?
I think the thing that I enjoy the most is just meeting such diverse types of people, you know, each and every single day. You know, we're on LinkedIn and we get an email about a new group that's starting up trying to do something in the community. And can we go talk to those people? Or we have a client who refers us to another client and we learn about forwholeness.com, which is a online cancer community. There's just so many different people that approach us or that we approach throughout the day that it's nice to constantly be exposed to different groups of people. And on a personal level of just having my own business with Dawn, she's someone who likes to work at home a lot, and I'm someone who kind of likes to be out and about. I usually set up shop in a coffee shop or, you know, a little side cafe, and I just love meeting people even when I'm out doing that. They see my little laptop that says the Warden Ettinger Group, and just conversation goes from there, so that's fun for me.
Okay, and we have about 1 minute left. Dawn, how about you? What's your favorite?
I'm easy. I certainly concur with everything that Kim says, including the fact that I do like to sit in my own chair that's perfect height to the table that I'm working at, because I go to the coffee shops and I don't have a very comfortable position, which I'm sure you probably don't either, being tiny like me. So
my feet are always dangling.
But I really love the social media. And I have to say that if I was really pushing it every day, I could probably spend all day long on social media. But what I'm doing on social media is pitching and writing and researching. And I just love it. I love especially Twitter. I love the real-time element of it. And I have gotten a lot of satisfaction. And because I have kids ranging from almost 14 to 23, just being in that world and being able to communicate with them on that has been just incredibly awesome, and I really, really enjoy it, and it keeps me young.
That's great. It's great. It's exciting. It's so exciting. Well, that's all the time we have for today, and I thank you two so much for coming in. I know how busy you are, and we're out here in the boonies somewhat, so I appreciate it. And that's it for this week's Women to Watch, everybody. We sat down with Dawn Warden Reeder and Kimberly Ettinger of the Warden Ettinger Group, and I highly recommend their services if you're a business looking to get the word out and tell your story. So, for next week, Women to Watch on 1180 WFYL. Thank you for tuning in and have a great week.